Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the USA Today Network, welcome to The Chop,
a Rutgers football podcast.
Now, here are your hosts, Ryan Ross, Chris Eisman, and Steve Edelson.
And that's right, it's time for another edition of The Chop, a Rutgers football podcast. Along with Steve Edelson, I'm Chris Eisman. And Steve, we thought that Michigan game was going to be a tough one for Rutgers, and it ended up being one, although there was a moment where it seemed like maybe, just maybe, the impossible could happen.
Well, let me tell you, when Max Melton blocked that punt and Rutgers tied the game at 7-7, that was as loud as I've heard that place in a while. So contrast that with the second half, you know, which was a real gut punch. But listen, there's still meaningful games to go, and here we are.
Yeah, listen, I think that game, it's such a cliche to say, but it was a tale of two halves, right? I mean, Rutgers came out. They really, you know, the defense was playing well, swarming Michigan, you know, flying around, making big plays and, you know, limiting them as much as I thought they could at that point in the game. And, you know, I remember at halftime kind of looking at you saying, is this going to happen? Like, is this really going to, you know, and then in the second half, it just, you know, everything obviously changed and it flipped. And Gavin Wimsett obviously struggled in that third quarter with the three interceptions. And I think that when you look at what he was able to do in the first half, you know, making some big throws to Sean Ryan. You know, I thought he looked poised. I thought he looked confident against a really good defense in Michigan. And you know, we've talked about it a lot that when you're playing a young quarterback, he just turned 19, he's going to make some mistakes. This is going to be, you know, while you will see the talent, the flip side of that is you're going to see those mistakes and the interceptions. And that is an area that, you know, he has to correct and he has to, you know, get better at because, you know, moving forward, you know, that's really going to cost Rutgers. I think that he can learn from them, but we're seeing right now so much of what we talked about in previous weeks that, yes, we are getting a glimpse of the future, but the present is going to be a little bit rocky.
Well, and I think it really sets the drama for these next few weekends because clearly Wimsett is the biggest story, the biggest storyline surrounding Rutgers right now, your quarterback of the future. And what you saw against Michigan was you saw how good he could be. And the bad was so far in the other direction. I mean, those were three really bad picks he threw, and they were crushing picks. You know, so you saw those throws he made in the first half. You saw how far he has to come in the second half. And now I think over the next three weekends, people need to see that kind of come together a little bit, you know, the good and the bad kind of meet in the middle and let's find a nice comfort zone with this kid and see what he can do moving forward.
You know, the thing is too, is that the last couple of weeks and, you know, this is a byproduct of who Rutgers was going up against Minnesota and Michigan, you know, very good run defenses, but they have not been able to run the ball with any kind of effectiveness. And obviously the loss of Sam Brown, who is averaging about 5 yards a carry, that hurt. But Rutgers has got to do a better job at running the football. And it hasn't been doing that. You know, it's going to get a shot this week, and we'll talk more about this, you know, later on in the show against Michigan State, who's you know, has not played that well defensively this year. But when you don't run the football, and Greg Schiano, you know, he mentioned this on Monday when we talked to him, that puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback. You know, it's you know, that's a lot on a 19-year-old kid to have to run an offense that is just, you know, right now or the last couple of weeks has just been kind of way too one-dimensional. And really it hasn't even been that effective at that. So it has got to get better at running the ball. And that's, I think, is a big key this weekend.
Yeah. And I think running the ball, you know, and I think Rutgers defense got put in a lot of bad positions. And then in the second half, you know, it just got away from them at the end. But You know, it would be nice to see. I think everyone needs to see a nice bounce back performance for that group. But I think overall they have played pretty well this year, and it's hard to really hang that Michigan loss on them. So I think between the running game and the ability of this defense to kind of bounce back and make a little bit of a statement on the road in this game, you know, I think there's a lot of things that people are going to be looking for and a lot of things that are going to be kind of interesting.
No doubt. Michigan State, you know, looking ahead, that is a vulnerable team. They just beat Illinois, you know, which is ranked number 16th in that game last weekend. But, you know, I think that they've had their fair share of struggles. And it's, you know, you look at the Michigan State team compared to last season, and this is not certainly not playing up to that level, anything close. So, you know, I do think that this is an opportunity for Rutgers. And to learn more about what has really cost Michigan State and, you know, kind of get into the details of the Spartan situation, we talked to Reiner Sabin from the Detroit Free Press. He covers Michigan. He covers Michigan State and the Big Ten football. And he provided a lot of great insight into what's costing the Spartans this season. And we're joined now by Reiner Sabin from the Detroit Free Press. He covers Michigan State and Michigan in Big Ten football. Reiner, thanks so much for being on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So just looking ahead to this weekend's Michigan State-Rutgers game, obviously, you look at the Spartans this year, they haven't had quite the success that they had last year when they were 11-2, went to the Peach Bowl. I guess if you can summarize, what's been the biggest issue with Michigan State this year in your mind?
I mean, obviously the loss of Kenneth Walker III was a real blow to the team, essentially. I mean, he kind of created the entire way of their allowed the way that they wanted to play to kind of materialize, which just, you know, them being able to run the ball, control the line of scrimmage, and then that kind of mitigated the exposure of the defense on the opposite side, because they kind of play a bend, don't break defense around the field a lot. In fact, I think they defended the most plays even last year in the entire Football Bowl subdivision. So, but he at least mitigated that effect a little bit, but they haven't been able to stay on the field as much. And then the defense has been, you know, exposed and kind of been dragged across up and down the field by some of these teams. And it just kind of snowballed. And so you didn't get what Mel Tucker likes to call complimentary football. And so it's just become a kind of a big, you know, downfall for the entire team from what they did last year and what they were able to do to what it looks like now.
How has Peyton Thorne grown from last year?
Honestly, a lot of people think he regressed. I mean, in some ways with the footwork. And I think, you know, again, you know, the offensive line has had a lot to do with that too. I mean, the pass blocking hasn't been as strong as it was last year. You know, that was a question mark going into the season, and it's proven to be an issue kind of throughout. They've gotten a little bit better in the last couple of weeks, and Peyton Thorne's performance has improved as a result. But, you know, again, the absence of Kenneth Walker, I mean, they did a lot of play action last year, downfield strikes. And, you know, they were largely successful on flea flickers. And I think they ran one against Rutgers last year for a touchdown to, I think it was Speedy Naylor in the first quarter last year. So, you know, that was a, you know, large component of their game. And they haven't been able to create that because they really have no running game. And so, you know, again, it goes back to Walker, and I think that's directly affected Thorne's performance this year.
Reiner, obviously Rutgers offense has had its share of struggles this year. And, you know, you look at this Michigan State defense, I know it's had its fair share of struggles. It's going to be, you know, maybe an opportunity for the Scarlet Knights to get something going. But, you know, you have a story out today that's, you know, about Michigan State starting to blitz more. I guess kind of what is sparking that sort of change, in that adjustment and that aggressiveness, and how has it worked so far?
I think they realized that, you know, their way of doing it before, which, you know, Mel Tucker likes to call it rush and cover, basically rush four guys, you know, drop everybody else in coverage and play that way, really wasn't effective. They were getting, again, burned up and down the field. You know, there were huge gaping zones in the defense and such. And so, like, you know, when you're kind of your back's against the wall, I mean, I think you're left with little recourse but to try something different. I mean, and then so they look like they've decided to try to blitz more. They, in the Wisconsin game, they went to more of a 4-3 look out of the, you know, the standard base nickel package that they run. And so they've kind of changed up the the personnel and the formations, and you know, maybe throwing a little more blitzing into it, and they look a lot better, honestly. I mean, the amount of points they've allowed in regulation has plummeted these last three Big Ten games versus the first three.
Reiner, what's been the mood of the team since the whole tunnel incident with Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, I actually think they have pretty good leadership at the top. I mean, Thorne's a good leader, and Xavier Henderson, the safety, is a very good leader. And I think they've been kind of able to kind of weather the fallout from the tunnel incident at Michigan, where you had eight defenders suspended, including three starters, most notably Jacoby Winman. So it's, I mean, those were big losses, but I mean, I think, you know, last week going on the road to Illinois and beating that team, in the way that they did was a testament to, I guess, the leadership and, you know, Mel Tucker's ability to kind of block out things and kind of keep that process oriented, mentality that he picked up from Nick Saban, at Michigan State when he was a grad assistant, then in LSU, and then later on in Alabama. So I think, you know, that kind of mentality served them well going into that game and carrying forward.
You mentioned the suspensions there.
Yeah.
Were there guys that really had to step up, you know, to kind of offset those suspensions?
Oh, for sure. I mean, like Aaron Brule is one of them. I mean, he was a transfer from Mississippi State. He was their best performing player. He's a linebacker for them, and he stepped up. And, you know, Cal Holiday, it looks, you know, like he's played a lot better this last game, you know, a little bit more of an attack-minded mentality that he showed maybe than he had in previous weeks. And so, and then, of course, you know, Xavier Henderson really played well. And even some, you know, some of the guys in the secondary, you know, they kind of held Illinois at bay, maybe more so than, you know, they were holding other teams at bay, I guess, you know, early on in the season. So I think they just overall, I mean, you kind of saw better performances at all three levels. I mean, where maybe players were, you know, kind of playing above their potential or where they have been playing before, you know, earlier in the season.
What's the status of those suspensions going into Saturday? We talked to Greg Schiano on Monday, and he said that they're basically preparing for everybody. I guess from what you know so far, is there a chance of any of those suspensions ending, or is this going to continue?
Yeah, I think it's a day-to-day thing. That's what Mel Tucker said yesterday, and I think, you know, they're kind of playing it day by day, in the sense that it truly is indefinite. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some resolution in the very near future as far as like where this thing is going totally. I mean, at least the police investigation, and maybe, you know, again, I don't know. I mean, the strange thing is the Big Ten's been rather silent on the whole matter, you know, since it happened.
And I guess just finally, Reiner, what's your prediction for Saturday?
Well, I mean, you know, I think, you know, I mean, based on the result on Saturday, I think Michigan State probably pulls it out by in a one score game. But I think it's going to be nip and tuck all the way. I mean, look at the way that Rutgers played against Michigan for a half. I mean, you know, and who knows? I mean, maybe that would have continued if, you know, the interceptions and the flurry of interceptions didn't happen in the third quarter and such, because, you know, it seemed like Rutgers and, you know, Schiano had a really good defensive game plan. And I assume they'll come with some similar stuff, you know, in game plan pretty well, as they usually do for, you know, these different offenses.
It should definitely be an interesting day on Saturday in East Lansing. Forecasts are saying it's going to be a cold one, so that'll throw some interesting conditions into it also. Reiner, we appreciate you being on with us, and thank you for your insight and your help.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And Steve, as we look at the Michigan State game now, and you know, we heard what Reiner thinks is going to happen in his prediction. What are you kind of expecting? What do you want to see? What do you think this game is going to lead to for Rutgers?
Well, it's an interesting situation in that you're facing a team that has a lot of distractions right now. You know, you look back at the Michigan tunnel incident. There's still an ongoing investigation in that. Players have been suspended and their status for this game is unclear. You know, there was some other stuff this week with, a lawyer for one of the players speaking out, and there's, you know, potential lawsuits hanging here. So there's a lot going on that can take away from what's going on the field. Now, clearly Michigan State shows its resilience last week in coming back with that win over Illinois. That was, I mean, I don't think anybody expected that, but they turned in a great performance. Now, you know, was that just, you know, really just trying to rise above everything last week, and now you're letting down this week? Well, we'll see. But I think there is a lot going on that could really distract Michigan State in this game. So clearly working for Rutgers' favor. But of course, these are two teams that are in exactly the same situation at 4-5. You know, Rutgers, let's face it, it's going to be really tough to beat Penn State a week from now. So you better win this game. And Michigan State is in very much the same situation. So I really think it is going to take Rutgers running the ball, being able to run the ball against a Michigan State defense that is not as good against the run as Minnesota, that is not as good against the run as Michigan was. This is where you're really going to have to run the ball and take the pressure off Gavin Wimsett. And I think they will be able to do a little bit better with Avery Young coming back. You know, I think they should be able to move the ball. And as I said earlier, I think the defense can do a decent job against this Michigan State team. You know, and again, it's a team they beat 2 years ago to open the season. So I don't think it's out of the question. In fact, I'm thinking Rutgers can pull this off, and I think it would be a huge win for Rutgers, you know, put them within a game of being bowl eligible. I am going to go with Rutgers 24, wow. Michigan State 21.
Wow, Steve going with the Scarlet Knights. How about that? I you know what? I like it. I like it. I don't think it's that far out of the realm possibility. You know, Michigan State, as I said earlier, is vulnerable. They've had a really, you know, it's been an up and down year. And I agree with you, Steve. I think that this is, you know, we talked so much earlier in the season about opportunities for Rutgers, right? This is a chance now where they're at the point where they should be able to beat the struggling Big Ten teams. And obviously they had a huge missed opportunity, we all know, against Nebraska. They were able to beat Indiana. Now you have another team, and Michigan State still has talent. We're not saying that they're not talented, but they're still just they're a very vulnerable team. And defensively, they're giving up, you know, 26 points a game. You know, and I think the big stat, and you mentioned the need to run the ball, is they're giving up 166.9 rushing yards a game. I mean, this is a big chance for Rutgers. And you mentioned having Aaron Young back, and his role is getting bigger and bigger as he kind of comes back from that injury. And, you know, Kyle Manungai and Al-Shadi Salam, you know, this is a big chance for those guys to really get something going. And as you said, too, take pressure off Gavin Wimsett. I think that this is another big opportunity for Rutgers to go on the road and, you know, hey, they won their, I mean, almost, you can't even compare the situations, but it would be kind of interesting if they went back to Michigan State and won, you know, after, you know, kicking off the Greg Schiano era 2.0 a couple of years ago with a win there. It would be kind of fitting if they went back and got another victory. But, you know, I do think that this is another chance for Rutgers to really take advantage of a team that's struggling. They're at the point now where we've said before, they're not going to beat the upper echelon teams in the Big Ten, but they can beat the struggling ones. And I think that this is another good opportunity. That being said, until I see, you know, Gavin Wimsett really, you know, have a clean, consistent game where he's not turning the ball over, it's going to be tough for me to say that Rutgers is going to be able to get that win. So I'm going to go Michigan State 21, Rutgers 17. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to go right down, you know, almost, you know, to the final minutes. But I think Michigan State ends up getting the win.
Well, I can see it. I mean, listen, this is I think our friends at Tipico Sportsbook have it as an 11 point. I think Michigan State is 11 point favorite in this game. So it's not like some of the other games where Rutgers, clearly people think they cannot win the game. I mean, this is a game, if they play well, you could make a case. And if they were to win, you know, what a change in the vibe just around this program for the next 2 weeks.
It's definitely going to be an interesting game on Saturday. There's no doubt about it. And the weather conditions are going to be cold. The forecasts are predicting about 39 degrees. So, you know, welcome to the Big Ten, Gavin Wimsett said. This is what you're going to be facing a lot, you know, in the future. So we'll have coverage of the game on NorthJersey.com, APP.com. So keep following us, keep reading us. And next week, I'm very happy to say that Ryan Ross will be back in the hosting seat. And I will be very, very glad to hand that role back over to him. So, Ryan, come back quickly. We need you. Talk to you next week, everybody. Thanks.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.